Okay. 3, 2, 1, go. Hey, it's Bibster Talks 2, and my mic is way too loud, because apparently that's how it was. Hey, welcome back to Bibster Talks 2 podcast, and like I remember last time I said I wasn't going to take a year off like I did last year. Well, I'm coming through with that promise. So, we have Nathan Hanna on the phone today. He's from Little River Customs. I think I'm saying your name right. Correct? Right, Nathan?
Yes. That's fine.
And he makes really cool guitar pedals. I know we've had guitar pedal people on here before, but these are definitely not your traditional enclosures. We'll start with that. And so Nathan, kind of introduce yourself to the listeners and kind of tell us a little bit about your company, and we'll kind of get going into that.
Okay, sure. Well, as you said, my name is Nathan Hanna, and I'm the owner here at Little River Customs, and I build everything myself. It's just me working in my shop. And it's like you said, one of the reasons I started doing this was to do weird enclosures and things. I didn't really like typical enclosures, so that's part of the reason I do this. But yeah, that's basically what I do. A lot of my stuff is custom work. People come to me and do things by request, and we're slowly transitioning into normal enclosures and expanding on that. But
okay,
yeah, I like just doing cool different builds that no one else has, you know.
So things are different. Obviously, you had to. Most people aren't Leo Fender and don't play the instrument that they perfect. Right. So how'd you get into music, and what got you into guitar pedals, and where was that I want to start making my own thing kind of come from?
Sure. Okay. So, I've been playing guitar since I was probably 13 or 14, and I'm 28 now, so it's been, a few years. And I first got started music as far as I was in the band in fifth grade. I played the trumpet. So, I've always been a musical person, played different instruments here and there. I play guitar in church about every week and bass. So, I have a lot of background with guitar. And then, as far as just my personal interest, I've always been interested in electronics and things like that. And I've had a few jobs here and there where I was doing it for a living, just circuit design and circuit testing, things like that, a lot of programming. So my hobbies just kind of combined, and that's where Little River Customs started. So I was like, in my free time, I was like, hey, I'm pretty good at this. And then when I discovered guitar pedals, when I was playing in church, I played a lot of like big multi-effects pedals, like the Pod and the Helix and things like that. So when I started playing guitar, I didn't really use analog pedals for years, you know. And then when I discovered them, I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. I could probably build these, and that's just what I did in my free time. I built a plus pedal here and there, did it for a hobby. And then I was like, hey, I really enjoy doing this. So that's, like I said, I had an electronics background, and then I also was a musician, obviously. So it just combined. It just came natural, however you want to word it there.
Yeah, it was just your hobbies kind of expanded into wanting to change tones. That, I think that's, you see that a lot. Either guitar players, either at a certain point, they either say, I want to try and build one, with a kit, or I want to try and make. I mean, there's a ton of really cool kits out there where either guitar or pedal where you can start off, and if you have mild soldering skills, you can at least try it. Now, my soldering skills are so subpar still. I don't trust myself to make anything more than an electrical connection on an 82-year-old tractor. But, So where did the, you said you kind of were changing and kind of got to the analog, we're thinking about the analog. Where did the design for, putting them into car models? I'm sitting here, I got your Mustang model, the 302 orange one I have of yours. Where did that design start with, or that idea?
Okay, so there's really two main factors that influenced my decision, because that's, I've done all sorts of enclosures, weird things, but cars are what I'm really known for, is model cars and hot rods and things like that, and with pedals built into those. So my dad died in a car wreck when I was just 8. He died in a bad accident, and that's one of the few things I can remember, was that he was a hot rod guy. He always had muscle cars, and he was always like fixing them up and buying them and selling them, and he was just a big car guy. He always drove really cool classic cars, and that's one of the only things I can remember about him. So it's kind of personal, it's got some sentimental value there.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been interested in cars just for that. I'm not a very great mechanic myself. I'm not good at working on cars. I just love them, I just always like hot rods and things like that. So that's part of the reason that I started doing that. And another big reason is because when I started doing this, I'd never seen it before. There was one other car pedal I'd seen. I think it was a Dr. No Effects. It's like a Falcon Buzz or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that, and so I started Googling. I'm like, man, this is really cool. There's a pedal on a car. So I Googled around and tried to do some research, and I couldn't find any more, anywhere. So the only one I really saw available, it was like a tune-off Buzz, and it was really expensive, and there was no auctions on it. So I was like, that's a really cool idea, but that's it, and it's really expensive,
Yeah.
So I was thinking, hey, it would be cool if you had like a custom shop, like a real car custom shop where you could build stuff from the ground up, or just have some options, some choices. And that's pretty much where Little River Customs started. I'm like, I want to do a custom pedal shop and even if it's not just cars, just custom pedals where everybody has, you know, people have the choice. You can, you know, if you want a knob color or if you want a paint color, any just options, you know, be able to say, hey, I want that in a pedal. Can you build it, you know, and, you know, like a custom shop. And so I say, sure. And that's the other big thing. So those two factors right there is basically what influenced me to do Little River Customs as far as hot rod cars. And a lot of them are custom, you know. Sometimes, like most of my builds, people come to me and they say they want something. But in my downtime, I just build random stuff and sneak it into Reverb stores and Instagram and Facebook, you know. So
yeah.
If you ever see anything of mine on Reverb, just randomly listed, that's just me in my downtime getting bored, you know. But I do a lot of stuff per request, too. So, but that's the background, you know. My dad was naturally a car guy, and then there's I didn't see anywhere that was doing custom builds like that. So I was like, it'd be cool if somebody could offer that. And there we go.
Well, yeah, and I think that is something I like that on my pedal board, which isn't even that crazy. I have a few pedals that in between this one, and then I have a couple years ago Brian Wampler was like doing pedal like mods on like old Metal Zone pedals. So I have an EQ pedal. Right. I have a Metal Zone that's an EQ. That's always a joke because I get to leave it on all the time because my EQ pedal. But people that like guitar players come up like, you're playing in church and you got a Metal Zone that's just always on. I'm like, yeah, it's always on. It's my tone, but and it's just something different because every time I look at that pedal, I think of that like, oh, that's a cool, you know, it's not just your. I went to Guitar Center and picked this pedal up, or you know, I was on YouTube and I saw 300,000 reviews of the same pedal in the same day, so I better go buy it, so I can look cool. I like the custom touch, and I've looked at with some of my other pedals that I have like trying to replace certain ones. Like, okay, if I have this one. Because I have a goal of like knowing or talk to all the people that have built every pedal. So at least now we've checked that knock, so I can the Mustang gets to go on that board. But but yeah, I think that's just something that's, you know, and there's some in that market, but unique enclosures is cool because as guitar players, I feel like we really half the time our pedal board is there so that other guitar players can look at it and we can play cool.
Right.
And so when you have something like that, it always brings that conversation of like, what's that? You know. What's that? You have a car on your pedal board? Like, yeah, and it lights up really cool. what was the, do you remember what the first model of car that you put a pedal in and what kind of pedal was it?
Oh, yeah, totally. I remember. I've got every build I do, I have like a master list of every build. They're all numbered and everything. So I've been trying to keep up with that. But the very first one, and what basically inspired me to keep going, it was one of my dad's model cars that he left me before he passed away. It was a 57 Chevy, a Bel Air. You know, it's like the penultimate American muscle car, you know, and it's really one of my personal favorites too. It's just a beautiful car, but it was a 57 Chevy. It was red and white. And, the pedal, I didn't build my own in the first one. I rehoused one. It was a Soul Food. So good old Soul Food. So that seemed like a perfect match, you know, for those two. I rehoused that into that. And I was like, man, this was awesome. You know, it looked cool. It functioned cool. And it sounded cool. You know, all the things you just mentioned. So, and it had some personal meaning to me. You know, that's what I like. A lot of what I do, there's a little personal history to each one, or there's a specific need for the guitarist, you know. So but yeah, it's a 57 Chevy with a Soul Food rehouse into it. So that was the first car pedal, technically. That was LRC build number one, the first one I've ever done.
Oh, nice. So I'm assuming you still have that one. That one.
So I've since taken it apart. It's been a couple years ago now. So it's in the pedal junkyard, basically. I have one of those.
It looks kind of like a car junkyard and pedal junkyard together.
Yeah, I'm a very indecisive person, and a lot of my personal builds like that, I'll get, you know, I'll mess around with them or try to perfect them. And it's hard for me to build one and just leave it sitting there as is, you know.
Well, and it's you're talked about how they're your hot rods, and that's how every
real mechanic.
every car guy's like that. You know, you think you have it done, and then you're, well, I mean, I can go tweak on this a little bit, or I can just. I'll stare at that till I find something different. Or I was on, you know, I was on YouTube and I saw this and I got to try it out. So it's funny that it's the same mindset, just in a different, you know, but the same enclosure. So that's
on a small scale. I've got a mini, you know, I got a mini junkyard down here, a mini car shop going on, and got to get under the hood and fine tune it. But in this case, it's not a, you know, it's not a 350 motor. It's a overdrive pedal, you know, got to tweak some changes here and there, you know? Yeah.
But I think that's cool. I mean, and it's just something,
something
different, and it's something that it also connects that. I mean, like, if you're if you're in a rockabilly band and you don't have one of these on your board, what you're doing something wrong.
Right.
Because
I've been telling people that a lot. Guitars and cars have always gone together from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of people, I'm not sure if they know this, but, like, Leo Fender used the GM catalog for painting guitars. That's why they have the names, like Fiesta Red and the I'm trying to think of the green one right now. It's slipping my mind. All of his original colors, they're legit car paint, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, he was using paint on those. And, you know, looking through the history of all the bands that have car themes and things like that, you know, they just, cars and guitars just go together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It only makes sense to have something like that on your board, you know, obviously.
Yeah. And
if
it's
you're
just
into that sort of thing, so.
Yeah, it totally is. And they're not, I mean, I remember when I got it, and I'll be, you know, straight up, I was like, I don't know if it's, you know, like, it's a cool looking thing, but, you know, like, I've used it, I've stepped on it, I'm a big guy, and I don't feel like I'm going to break the thing in half when I'm stepping on it, because it's a real model, like, it's a metal model car. Because that was the one, I remember going, and I didn't realize, like, I was like, man, I'm like, it's a big pedal, which, it's nice, I have a big board, but you're like, it's not something that's just like, oh, you know, it's really a thought out thing, like, yeah, I'm not scared to step on, because that was one thing, I was like, well, I'm not sure, you know. Maybe I'll have it, like, on the music stand when I want to hit it, or maybe it'll be an always-on, which, for my normal music, I can't quite have this be an always-on. It's a little gnarly, but I like it that way.
Right. But, yeah, that's one of the first things, you know, a lot of people see what I'm doing here, and they're kind of skeptical, and it's the same response. You know, I get that a lot, so I'm used to that, and my answer to it is always, you know, I try to put a little bit of design behind these, because I don't think we mentioned that earlier, but I actually went to college and I've got an associate's in design and drafting. So I have some background in things like that, some professional background to it, but not a lot. But I know how to design and think about things before I build them. And on these pedals, another reason I use model cars, specifically diecast, is because it's the same exact thing guitar pedals are made out of. They're both made out of diecast aluminum. And what that means is there's no welds or no screws holding the pedal together like on a regular guitar pedal. You know, if you look at the corners, they're seamless. It's one solid chunk of metal cast in a mold. That's what diecast means.
Yep.
And the cars are made the same way. Like, they're almost made, it's made the same way a pedal's made. It's just one solid chunk of metal with a plate screwed on the bottom, just like a pedal. So in that sense, I mean, you're not really changing that much. You know, you might be worried about like a mirror or something here and there. And for stuff like that, you know, I do a warranty on my pedals. If something were to break or something like it happens, I have a warranty covering it. You know, it just seems like a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
But design-wise, yeah, it's not any different than stepping on a regular pedal, really, because they're both made out of diecast aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other thing, like the foot switch itself, you're stepping on the switch. You're not necessarily stepping on the car. A lot of people are like, man, I'm going to step on that car and break it. And I'm like, well, you're not, you know, stomping the whole car. You're just, you're turning a pedal on. You know, if you stomp on your pedals that way, it'd probably break them too, you know?
Yeah, it's not a, it's right. like if you're mashing them that hard, and, you know, I'll admit, I've, you know, been mistakenly going for one and, you know, smoking the other pedal on the way if you're not.
Right.
But it's like,
it's
not going to be anything that's going to happen. I mean, there are certain pedal brands out there that, you know, yes, you can, like, you know, light on fire, throw it on the stairs, and, you know, they'll still work. But not everyone can be Boss pedals. They've got to figure it out. Or, you know, they've got an enclosure where it's all hidden, all that stuff, except there's still just a plastic switch under that. But
that definitely makes sense. Yeah, you look at these pedals, you're like, man, it's, you know, it's a beautiful model car, and you're like, man, it's really pretty, or like, I'm just, it looks very fragile, you know. But when you get it in person, you know, a lot of people not being able to see it in person and actually play it probably makes a difference. But, you know, you get it and you're like, man, it's built like a tank. You know, I could probably gig with this. And I had one guy that told me that he bought my pedal for his studio board, just because, you know, to record with, but he liked the sound of it so much, and it was actually roadworthy. He put it on his gigging board, but he didn't think it was going to be roadworthy to gig with, but he's been touring with it, so there you go.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and there's a lot more, like, I mean, from looking at the one I have, there's a lot of mass around where, like, where you can see the circuit board's at, so it's like, you could really have to do damage to it to actually hurt that board. Like, you might, like, okay, you maybe hit, like, do something where it hits a switch, but if anything that breaks a switch off, that would break a switch off a regular pedal. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's really not any different when you break it down like that. And if you design it, if you try to put some thought behind the designs without, you know, the other thing, you know, try to lay it out smart, it actually transfers over very well, whether it's in a model car or just a regular aluminum pedal, you know? Mm-hmm.
So we were talking before and a little bit before we got recording. So you were, at one point you were, this was part time, and then it became full time. And where's it sitting at now in the sense of like your day to day operations?
At first, it was just a hobby. I was doing it on the side, and then a lot of people saw it and they're like, "That's really cool. You know, you should try to do something with that." So I, you know, I had a reverb store where I'd buy and sell gear, just, you know, normal gear all the time. So I would put a few pedals on there every now and then, and they, you know, they would usually sell pretty good. So that's what I was doing for a long time, just reverb only. And that's basically how I am now. I have a Facebook and Instagram and a reverb store. I haven't made an official website yet just because there's really hasn't been a need for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, as far as, you know, what I'm doing as a business, I have, you know, I was doing full-time there for almost 3 years. I floated, you know, selling my pedals for a living there for almost 3 years. And I really enjoyed that. But then it got to where it's very stressful. I think me and you had talked about it earlier before this interview. Doing something like this is my hobby and I love doing it. But once you go to where that's paying your bills, trying to put food on the table, it puts a lot of stress into the process.
Mm-hmm.
And just the general upkeep itself, having to pay for it, you know, having to force yourself to do, you know, keep building things to try to pay bills with it. It's just very stressful. And it's not really, you know, stable. You never really know. One week I might make a lot. One week I might only sell one or two pedals. You know, you mm-hmm. never really know. So I was doing this for almost 3 years, like I said, full time. And then I decided to go ahead and pick up another day job and just help support this and kind of slide back into where this was a part time deal. But mm-hmm. I still want to be serious about it. I would love to be at the point, you know, where I was like any other pedal company, I suppose, you know, like JHS or, I don't really know who to compare to at this point. Just a regular pedal company making pedals. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be cool. But I'm actually happier doing this as a hobby because what I do specifically is a lot of custom pedals, a lot of unique things. I'm not really popping out 10 pedals at a time here. I'm doing just one, you know, like one specific build. Or it's custom work versus factory, you know, use thing.
Yeah, so, instead of assembly, like a regular so assembly
in a
job.
In a sense, it's a lot better for me just to stay small time like this than just doing them, you know, job by job. Yeah. Well, it's just easier.
And I think at a certain point you hit that wall of, you know, as you were saying, where it's like I either have to go and make this into like either like a mini factory where right. I like going to work all day is I'm making 100 of the same pedals and punching them right. out and box. It's like, or you can have it where it's fun and it's a hobby and or not a hobby, but I mean it's a side, you know, it's kind of a side gig. And that way it's not as, there's not that pressure on. Like if you don't sell, you're not like having to go home and being like, we didn't sell any pedals this week. We can't eat, or you know, versus having a little more security there and being able to have fun with it. You know, I have some other friends right. that have gone that way of, you know, where they're doing full time pedals. I think of Cody Fields with Westminster Effects over there in South Carolina, right. and he's, you know, he's at that level, but it's, you know, it's a lot of like you also have to have a few people there that are, you know, to support to make that all work, and then you know right. then you run into issues where like, you know, a fast food company sends you a cease and desist, and it's like fun things like that. That you know, when flying under the radar, still you're not having to worry about as much now. So, are you doing your own circuit boards then? I mean, obviously, there's like a baby circuit. So you're designing that, you're printing that on your own.
Yes, I've done a lot of different ranges as far as that goes. You know, I've done, you know, the strip board builds and just point to point. You know, some of that I do by request. Some people prefer the way it looks when it's point to point versus having a circuit board, even mm-hmm. though functionally a circuit board's a better thing. You know, they like the grassroots appeal and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But since I majored in that design, I have a lot of background with this sort of thing. So I'm working, you know, at first people wanted like a clone of something. They would come and say, hey, can you build me a tube screamer, but put it in this or that or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, things of that nature. I've done a lot of that, a lot of requests, but I have original circuits that are original to me, original designs, and I have those printed on circuit boards. So sometimes, you know, I'm trying to get where I can use those more often. And like I said at the very beginning of the interview, I would eventually like to have just a run of normal enclosure pedals, you know, because that would be the smartest choice to give people more options and whatnot. For people that don't want a car or something, you know, I can have an LRC branded pedal range, mm-hmm. you know, maybe eventually. But as far as the circuits themselves, yes, I do have. I have them, I design them myself and send them off and have them printed out on a circuit board and plant that inside the car. Yeah.
Perfect.
So, and there's a wide range. You know, I have everything from a fuzz I've got a delay, a fuzz, overdrive, your basics. And then I also have, you know, really advanced digital effects. And that's what I try to specialize in because I have some programming background. So my favorite thing to do is like reverbs and delays and things of that nature. You know, a lot of digital, you don't see that in the small time independent builders. They mm-hmm. don't really mess with digital very much. They're more just analog dirt or fuzz or overdrive or something like that. So
yeah,
the digital world is where I like to hang out at, but yeah, I've done all kinds of things. Yeah.
So that brings up this topic then. So what of all the effects, what is, you've kind of hinted already, but what's your favorite, two questions. What's your favorite effect to build? And what's your favorite effect to use when you play?
Right. So the favorite thing to use when I play, I'll start off with that. It's definitely a delay. Mm-hmm. Like if I was on a desert island with Noah, with my dream guitar set up and just one pedal of my choice, it would be a delay. Like I wouldn't care if it was just a cheap three knob or an advanced one. You know, that's my favorite effect. And mm-hmm. it's just a good overall well-rounded thing because a delay can be a reverb if it has a short time, you know, but reverb can't be a delay. So it's versatile, but it's just a cool sound. That's my favorite thing. So as far as playing, I like to have just a regular old delay pedal. as far as building, I'm not really sure. Circuit wise, I really like doing overdrives in dirt because they're simple. They're easier to build, you know, versus a big complex circuit. A fuzz and a distortion pedals are simpler and easier to build. A lot of guys, you said, you know, they'll do that. There's a lot of hobbyists out there that build their own fuzz pedals and things like that. So it's easier. And it's a joy to build. You know, it's part of the reason I do it, just because I'm a nerd like that. I like electronics and circuit. You know, the build itself is fun to me, just the process, you know. So, yeah, probably distortions and drives are my favorite things to build.
Nice.
Because they're simple, and they're very rewarding. When you get one done, like if you build a fuzz pedal and it works when you step on it the first time, you know, it's just a very rewarding feeling, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's that wall of sound. Versus, I'm sure when you get on the digital side of things, there's a lot more that can be wrong. So it's instead of that excitement of the first time you hit it, you're pretty sure it's gonna work. You're like, please let this repeat the sound I'm making. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
It's like that, you know, it's that simple thing better. But that's interesting. It's a lot of players, you know, delay isn't their, I don't know, maybe it's people I talk to because we're all just a bunch of, I call it power chord for Jesus because I like to play rhythm, so it's easy. Right. But so we're like, I want 15 levels of dirt, and then, I don't know, just throw whatever reverb you have on there on the end, and then we'll call that probably enough. So.
No, I'm in Lickskill, Alabama. I'm not here in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. I go redneck, like a lot of, you know, any old country boy, I guess. But I'm a nerd, too. I like outer space and things like that. So when I'm here at the house jamming, I like a big, spacey, ambient reverb. And a big delay. You see that in church a lot, I suppose. Big ambient sounds, you know. Yeah,
swells for days.
Definitely. So I'm all about that when I'm just here at the house jamming. I like to space out. That's why I like delay.
That's true, and that is good. So let's talk a little more about your rig, because again, I like to nerd out a little bit. So what is your what's your favorite guitar rig? You know, if you were I always, you know, the atypical question is always, what's your desert island rig? And it's always, I want a generator. But you know, one guitar, so you have your delay pedal, but what's your guitar, what's your amp? Talk a little bit about what you would have and or what you actually have.
Right. Well, I mentioned earlier I'm a very indecisive person, so I like having a very versatile guitar, one that can do a little bit of everything. So ideally, you know, like right now, it's kind of weird and random, but I have an Ibanez 7-string, and not necessarily Ibanez as a brand, but any 7-string in general is my guitar I prefer. And I'm not like a metal person or a gent chug person, you know. That's what they're associated with a lot. Yes. But 7-strings were invented for jazz players. They were invented for cleans and things like that, because you get that extra lower register, so you can make, you know, the same reasons metal bands like them a lot. You get those really low tones. But it makes beautiful cleans too. So I have a 7-string I play into the majority of my pedals on my board are ones that I built myself, but I've got a few store-bought things I like to jam on. And the amp, as far as an amp, I'm not really too picky. Although I do consider the amp that you're playing to be probably the most important, you know, part of your sound.
Yes.
The amp to me is like 80% of the tone to me is what amp you're playing through.
Yeah.
But I've got a Marshall Master Elite combo that I picked up at Guitar Center. It's a solid state, but it's a really cool amp. It's like from the 80s, I think. I use that here at the house a lot because it just takes pedals really well. It's not very loud, but when you drive it with a dirt or something, it's perfect, you know?
Yeah, and when you're at home, always need to be that loud.
But for amps, I like Marshall. I like them a lot for distorted channel or distorted pedals. And then for cleans, I'm a Fender guy all day long. I really like Fender amps as far as preferences. Yeah,
it's definitely... The choice for that. I mean, it's kind of one of those. It's just funny how for guitars, it's like there's basically the you want this tone. Okay, that's exactly what you're gonna have. Like, there's not much, you know, there's not too much where there's some new players in there, but at the same time, you're like, oh yeah, someone can do it. But you're just making the same. You're making the same circuit. You're just maybe doing it, you know, a little more precise or adding this or that. But essentially, you're either trying to find the Vox, the Fender, or the Marshall sound, and basically that's your three options.
Right, pretty much. I mean, and no matter what amp you're playing, most of them usually have a model that's imitating one of those.
Yeah.
I'm not, like I said, amp is very important in your tone. To me, that's more important than the guitar you're playing. You know, a lot of people focus mainly on their pickups and their guitar, or this or that, or their, you know, certain pedals. But really, if you're a tone chaser, start with a good amp and then build outwards from that. My advice. Yeah, you know?
That's a good, but, good point. Yeah. I know when I first started playing.
At the same time, an amplifier, its purpose is just to make your sound louder. So, I mean, if it turns on and is loud, that's all I'm happy with, you know?
Yeah, that's also true.
Right.
It's always good. I mean, I was started off, I mean, geez, my first amp was like a Mustang 1, a little 8-inch Fender. And I remember being like, oh, this isn't bad. And then, like, I got a Katana, and I'm like, oh, That's right. Why 12 inches are. That's why 12-inch speakers are better. Like that yeah, makes exactly. way more sense.
Right.
And I'll never turn the other one back on. But yeah, I mean, it was just you know like oh, that's why a good amp is more expensive and you know a yeah. decent price because it just is that much better. It's that much more usable. And I think as a guitar, mm-hmm. as a when I started off, at least that was like my last like, oh yeah, right. amp. I'll just find something that'll kind of work. And then now it's like instead of trying to look for guitars, I'm trying to look for old 5-watt. Tube amps so I can play them in my house at loud or quote unquote loud, which is just there on breakup because right. yeah, that was my other discovery. I think I made like 2 years ago. I was like, oh, that's why everyone likes valve amps so much more. Yeah.
Yeah. You can get that volume up there. Huh?
You're like,
yeah.
that sounds
you hear yourself in a mix too. Yeah.
You're like, huh, that does sound better. But yeah, I mean, again, right. and then again, it's from the guy that plays at church and we're going directed. And so we're never, you know, our stage volume is like null. And I'm like, whatever, which is why,
right.
my Pod 500X stays at church because I'm like, all right, plug in my XLR, plug in my guitar, worship tutorials, give me a sound, we're good to go.
Right.
So.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and if you want to touch on like the signal chain, basically, you know, you'd think that me being a pedal builder, I'd build just, you know, 100 pedals and have a crazy collection laying around, but I really don't. My pedal board is actually pretty simple as far as the layout goes, and mm-hmm. we can touch on that if you'd like.
Yeah.
If you'd like
yeah.
to know what I'm playing through. Yeah. So my personal board here at the house, what I've got that I play on more than anything when I'm just jamming or whatever, if I was gigging with it, I've got it set up where I can gig if I wanted to. It's very simple. I have my signal chain goes from guitar into a tuner into two dirt pedals. I have two overdrives. One is a Zen Drive clone that I built, and the other one is a Rush Driver clone that I built. So it's just two dirt pedals for a little gain stage in there. I've got those running into a noise gate. It's one of those newer Donner Intelligent. It's the Donner Intelli series, I think is the name. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a noise gate with an effects loop, basically. And I really like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a soft gate's the model number on it. It's a pink pedal, their model name, I mean. Is Donner it, soft gate's what it's called.
Is it kind of like the is it like the Boss NS2 where it's got that loop where it's...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You can run your main signal in and out, and then there's like a loop in a send and return, just like an effects loop. And mm-hmm. you can put noisy dirt pedals in that loop and keep yep. the feedback from being whatever. And you can use it as an effects loop. If you have both of them on all the time, like I do now, that's how I got it set up. I keep both of my drives on. They're both of them are running all the time, no matter what, for the heavy gain. So it just saves you from tap dancing to run them in that loop on that pedal. And that's how I've got it set up. So two drives, you know, a tuner into two drives, basically, into a noise gate. And then that goes into a delay, into another delay,
mm-hmm.
and then into a modulation, and into a reverb, and then in my loopers at the very end. So it's very simple.
Yeah.
But I like having, I'm a two-delay kind of person. I really like those. I've seen some tutorials about it on YouTube before, and I agree after personal experience. If you like big ambient tones, like church stuff, or just space outer space sounds, two delays is the way to go, because you can set one long and one short and have... Once you get those times synced together right, you have that ping pong delay sound. It's just awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have the Westminster Chick delay, and it's got two Bucket Brigade chips in it, so you can set them. You can set them that way, and so like when right. I first got it, because I was like, oh, and it was again the realization. After talking to me, I realized as a hack guitar player, and when I discover actually good gear, I'm like, oh, that's that what they're going for, because I played that and I put right. them offset, and I was like, oh, that's that ping pong sound. I like that.
Yeah,
because you know, going from yes. some cheapo digital delay that just went basically to that.
Right. It's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the things I learned after, you know, when I started building guitar pedals, I never used analog pedals hardly at all.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've built them, you know, I've built a bunch, I use them more than anything. So I really didn't know that much about them going into it. And I'm still learning about a lot of store name, you know, store bought branded pedals. I'm not very familiar with a lot of them. I'm still mm-hmm. learning as I go on that. But I had a really strong background in circuits and electronics. So in that sense, you know, I was used to the circuit part of it. I'm just not used to running a full chain and all that, you know, pedals. So it's a learning process, no matter, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a rocket scientist coming into this or just an average Joe out there like some people are that like doing electronics as a hobby, you know. Either way, when you start building pedals, it's a learning process just like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, it's a brand new thing. You've got to just have some experience with it, you know.
Yeah, there's
not. So I had kind of a middle ground. Yeah, I was like, you know, I had some background in electronics, but I, you know, I didn't really have a lot of experience with guitar pedals themselves. So I'm still learning as I go. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that's really a good point of it's, you have to get right. into it. Because there's not like, I mean, there's more stuff out there now for, you know, like right. how to build a pedal on YouTube. But yeah, there's there's a lot more people in that industry, and there's a lot more people sharing the secrets. You know, for so long it was like, we don't want to tell people how they're doing this, you know.
Right.
You know, it's like it used to be like the high-end boutique pedals, they were throwing stuff on the back so you wouldn't look at them. Now versus everyone's like, "Oh, this is what the pedal is." Like, and then, you know, they send it out to people that are like pulling the back off like, "Look at this," you know, because people know, but they also know too, like, because everything kind of changes things, you can have the exact same, all the same parts, and it's going to sound differently because of tolerances and all those parts. So, yes, exactly. And what I think, and that's what I like about pedals, it's like, technically every pedal is, it's not custom, but every pedal is kind of custom because there's variances in all the parts. So you could have two pedals, line them up, line the knobs up the same, and there might be some changes in there. There might not also. And it also means too, like, when someone's like, "Oh, well, that's the, you know, you have to get that colored knob one because that's the better one." You're like, "Well, maybe."
right, exactly.
But yeah, I think I don't know. Pedals are fun, and they're as a guitar player, you know, it's just an easy. I mean, we're addicted to all the gear we have, but pedals are the easiest one to, like. They don't come in a big box when you're trying to get them into the house, so that's easy that way.
Right.
And you know, you can, it's fun to switch them out, and you know, when you got buddies that play guitar, it's nice to be able to trade around and try and find your own tone.
And a lot of guys I run into, they're like, you know, "Oh, you don't need pedals, you know, old fashioned people just play a guitar and do an amp, you know, this and that." But really, I don't see it as that, as like cheating. Like, used to, I might think, "Oh, you know, it didn't require any talent to play pedals. You know, you can just turn that delay pedal on, it does all the work for you, you sound cool, you know." Mm-hmm. And it definitely helps. It does facilitate your playing, obviously. But that's why I like it. It's a tool. It helps you. You know, it's just, I don't know. I'm not one of those guys that, like, just doesn't think you have to have pedals. But when I first started playing, you know, I never played with them a lot. And part of it might have been a little bit of that. But just after building them and, you know, having more experience with guitar pedals in general, I'm like, yeah, this is really cool. You know, I don't see why people would be why they would think it's something you don't necessarily need, because it helps. And it's not just because I'm sitting here playing, I don't have to play heavy, like, you know, complicated notes or anything like that, or heavy, you know. A lot of, I don't know how to word it exactly. You don't have to have a lot of skill to play this certain passage. I can just turn my delay on, and that's the thing. You have to keep it simple. If you're playing a delay or reverb, you have, you know, simpler runs do sound better. Like, you know, three note runs or whatever on a reverb sounds better than a complex passage. But the point I'm trying to get across is pedals are a tool that helps you play, especially if you're gigging for a living or anything like that. You know, it's just like going out and buying tools for your job. If you're like a construction person, you know, buying a saw or something to help you do that. These pedals can help you shape your tone, you know, especially overdrive pedals and things like that. It's just, it's another tool on your, you know, another tool on your workbench, basically, if you're a professional musician, for sure. Yeah.
It's like, it's another, and I, you know, I kind of look at it like everything we touch as guitar players, everything that's in our signal chain is part of the instrument. A lot of people just take it, you're playing the guitar, and then the rest of the stuff, but being able to set the amp the way you want, set your EQ by your, you know, having the ear to be able to hear if your EQ's right, and having the pedal sound right. That takes just as much like a musical ear and talent and thought process and practice of realizing that doesn't sound good. That does sound good because someone that doesn't know how to play guitar won't be able to pick it up and make it sound good. Also, someone that doesn't know anything about pedals won't be able to just like blindfoldedly change the knobs and go, "Okay, that should sound good." I mean, there's a thought process there.
It's a learning process. Definitely. For sure. Yeah. Because I was the same way. Like, there was, you know, like I said, I never really messed with store-bought pedals before I started building them. But I used to have a few here and there. And I remember at one point, you know, I had a Big Sky on my board at church for a while. It was a Strymon Big Sky. And when I first bought that, it was before I was building pedals. I didn't know how to work the thing. Like, it was so complex, you know. I'm like, man, this got a lot of knobs, a lot of settings, all this. You know, I didn't know jack about that.
I don't know.
After owning the pedal, you know, I got more familiar with it. But then, you know, after playing... Now that I've been building guitar pedals, not just because I've built them, but because I've got more experience with individual effects, I understand a lot more. I don't have the Big Sky anymore, but I feel like if I were to have it again, just after playing with reverb and delay for a while, I'd probably know how to dial that in and love it, you know. Which, I'm not knocking on the Big Sky. It's an awesome pedal. I wish I still had it. I had gear acquisition syndrome like any other guitarist. I trade and sell and trade and all that all the time, you know, changing gear all the time. But like what I was saying, you know, as you were just hinting at just a minute ago, once, you know, pedals is a learning process, you know, after you've been playing with them for a while, it makes a lot more sense. And then in that respect, you learn how to make them sound so much better, you know. You can dial in your sound. It really makes a difference. And to me, that's just, it really helps, you know, especially like playing at church and things like that. When you're playing out for other people, it just makes you sound, you know, so much better. A lot of people will notice, they're like, hey, your sound sounds different this week, or something like that, you know? Sound really good today, you know?
And there's other times, yeah. There's like, you always have the joke too, like, at the same time, there's people that are like, oh, that sounded good. And there's other people that I'm like, you know what? If I forget to turn this delay on for this song, I don't think, you know, Sister Better Than You is going to realize that I wasn't playing the right thing. Like we were talking the whole time, and I'm like, yeah, if there's a guitar player out there, he might notice what I'm doing. Like, I think I was the one. Oh, it's because I was, I have a Schecter Telecaster copy, and it's my only guitar with a Bigsby, and I have just absolutely fallen in love with it. And so, needless to say, I have become just I'm all over that thing whenever I'm doing swells. And the one Sunday I was, and our worship leader is like, man, that sounded good. I was like, yeah, I'm like, I feel like I'm going to overuse it now, because now that I've made it sound like that, I'm like, oh, okay, just woo, 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 woo. Like, and it was like the next service. Right. I had that thing in my hand the whole time, and I'm like, got two songs, and I'm like, oh, crap, I'm way out of tune now. I've screwed this too much. But it's that same thing. And a lot of it's, as a guitar player, it helps your confidence out of, like, I think this sounds good, I'm going to be able to hit it, versus, like, oh, what is that? Like, you know, when you know your tone and you know what it's supposed to sound like, you know what you want it to sound like, you're not worried about that. You're, like, you're just worried about hitting the notes, not worrying about, oh, is that other pedal on? And that's why, like, for me, a Big Sky has always been, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to need, like, 15 books to learn how that works. And I'm still going to be like, huh? Right. I hit a knob wrong? Oh, man. Like,
right, yeah, totally. That's what I'm saying. Like, when I first bought it, I was just lost, you know, because I never really messed with a lot of different reverbs and delays. You know, I knew basics, but that one just has a lot to offer. So it was a combination of it just being a new pedal, but also me not being familiar with pedals in general, you know. But now that I've played them a lot more, you know, I could dial it in, and I would, like I said, I would have been happy to have had that on my board. You know, I'm like, man, this is a great part of my sound. It's very helpful to have this. You know, I'm glad I've got it. So, versus some people that are, you know, skeptical about pedals in general, you know, you don't need pedals to sound good. Well, you know, you can't make a reverb sound with just a guitar, you know?
Well, it's like the classic, well, Jimi Hendrix only had this and this pedal. I'm like, yeah, and those pedals had just come out. Like, yeah, and he already had them on his board and was using them all the time. Like, it's not like...
He was a big pioneer for effects. I thought about that a lot. Like, if he was still alive now, he would be all over some of the pedals we got now. He'd be all about it.
Oh, you
know, he'd have a full board, probably. A lot of musicians back then would. And it's exactly what you said. You know, pedals haven't been around that long. When all these big guitarists people want to compare that to were big, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, pedals were just now being invented. The first pedals were invented in the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
You believe it, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. In the
70s, they picked up, and they were really, but there really weren't hardly any. They were just now being invented. So you know, the 80s and 90s is when pedals were starting to take off, and that's, you know, not very long ago. It's still a fairly new thing.
It's fairly recently, and it's fairly, like, you know, there weren't
new technology. Right.
Know, I think the next, like, 10 or 20 years for pedals is where you're going to see, you know, it's going to grow. I feel like at a certain point there's going to be a crest of a mountain, because I feel like, you know, every 2 weeks we find somebody else like, oh, they're making this new pedal. This just got released. I mean, and I went through I used to watch gear demos all the time. It just made me want to buy more pedals. And so I realized at one point, I'm like, wait, maybe if I tone this down a little bit, I won't want every brand new pedal that comes out. But that's the hard part, because there's so much. So when that's, you know, just to talk about, like, with what you're doing, what sets you apart from everyone else, like, yeah, you're making your own overdrive circuit, but you're putting it in a model car, and suddenly that changes you in the market. You're not just, oh, it's in a basic enclosure, you know, which some people want that, but they're going to first come to you because they said, hey, you're the guy that puts them in cars. You know, you're the guy with the Ghostbusters, you know, ambulance, Echoplex, you know, it's like all this stuff that, you know, that's how they're going to find you. And I think that's what's cool about what you've done, is find an area in the market that is not being utilized, take advantage of it, and then shape that into still, and not just staying in that. You're not just like, well, I'm the guy that puts them in car models, so it's all I do.
It's just a way to stand out. You just hinted on that a minute ago. Pedals, you know, there's a lot of guys right now. There's 100 different independent builders I can think of off the top of my head. If you look on Instagram or you on Facebook very much, you see different homemade pedal companies popping up everywhere. It's a blossoming thing. So there's a lot of factors in why I'm doing what I'm doing, but that was part of it. It just helps you stand out. And you have to do that anytime you're in an industry that's like manufacturing or, you know, and what I do is borderline art, you know, artistic. You have to have something that's unique to you that helps you stand out among all the others. There's just, you know, there's so many different kinds of pedals, like you said, so many different guys doing Cube Creamer clones right now. But what makes that one different?
Yep.
And that helps me stand out like that among the rest. But also, like you said, it gives you something unique. And And that's, and you hinted at that a minute ago too, you know, not necessarily that I'm always going to be doing cars or this or that, but I just wanted to offer something that was individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the custom aspect comes into play. You know, even if I was doing a pedal in a regular enclosure, I still like being able to give the custom option, you know, color choices or whatever, you know.
And I think today's time, everyone kind of is looking for that. And that, you know, yeah. we lean so far into the, like, you know, oh, I can Amazon Prime anything in 2 days. We've gone so far that way that now everyone wants that. Oh, you know, like, I got a buddy that's about 45 minutes away from here that he builds custom guitars. And when I first met him, I was like, okay, does he do kits? And he goes, oh, no, here's this neck blank I haven't cut out yet, like, that he glued together. I'm like, oh, you mean you do? He goes, yeah, I do the whole thing. I'm like, oh, that's...
Right.
But, I mean, it's that same thing. Like, you know, yeah, everybody can go and buy a guitar off a shelf, but if you can find somebody that's like, oh, I made this custom, then every time you play it, you're thinking of that versus, you know... I'm not really sure where this came from. And I think in today's time, that's going to grow more and more as people are trying to find that you know, that market for anything, not just guitar pedals, you know, for any kind of thing.
You want something that's got a cool story behind it or something that's unique, you know, like when somebody requests something from me, you know, there's usually a reason for that. You know, if they want like a, you know, if they want a movie car, like a model car that's in a movie, like a Mystery Machine or something like that. You know, they like Scooby as a kid, you know, they're just Scooby fans now, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. It has a meaning to them. Or even if it's not like, you know, an established brand or something like that. Some people come to me and just want, you know, I've done a lot of regular enclosures that were custom for the same reason. People just wanted something that had more meaning, you know, or more unique personal connections to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people like chrome on something. I had one guy I did a chrome pedal for, you know, he likes chrome. He's a car guy, you know, so I did a chrome enclosure, you know. Instead of just going and saying, hey, I went out and bought this overdrive here or there, you know, it actually has a little bit more meaning behind it, you know. So that's what people like,
Well, more personal. And it makes it where it's a particular, for me, it's a piece of gear, like, that's not one. I mean, there's other pedals that I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I might buy and Charles and say, you know, kind of pilfer these around.
Right.
That's like, no, that one stays. Like, that one's never going anywhere. You know, so it's it becomes part of that, and that's what I think is just kind of cool about it. It's just something that, you know, I think, like, you know, maybe I'm silly when I think this way, but I'm like, oh, you know, if one of my kids someday is interested in playing guitar, this might be a pedal. They're like, oh, I remember playing my dad's car pedal. You know, versus, not, I mean, there's not many kids. I mean, there might be, but it's like, I remember playing my dad's Boss overdrive pedal. Like, yeah, maybe, but you know, the one that looks like a car is gonna be way cooler. So I think there's some of that with that whole aspect and that thought process.
Oh yeah,
But yeah, so well, Nathan, we've been going here for a while. I know you probably got a. We're in the same time zone, but still, definitely, we're going to have to talk, because at some point, I got to figure out a way for you to put a closure into a tractor pedal, because, or some kind of tractor thing. I got to figure that out. I'm going to go out to the garage.
Hey, no, see, that's the cool thing. I run into that a lot. A lot of people just come to me, and they're like, hey, you think we can do this? And I'm like, I don't know. We'll try it and see. You know, I enjoy it. That's part of the reason I do it, too, mm-hmm. is I enjoy the challenge. You know, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
No, you know, a lot of my stuff, you know, I've done multiples of the same thing, but more often than not, I'm doing something different every time. And it's just, it's like a puzzle, you know? So I enjoy it. Yeah, totally.
I haven't done a tractor before, so that should be a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll go out and see, because I have like a pile of just random tractor parts. But we can put it into that.
Sure.
One of the ones.
And see, I've done that before. Yeah. There are people that brought me stuff before and said, hey, can you make a pedal on this? Which is something you can't do that I know of anywhere else. Like, can you take somebody, let's say you have like a trinket box or something that belonged to your grandmother, your granddad or something, you know, can you take that and say, hey, put a pedal on this for me? And a dude will do that, you know?
Yeah, that's
what's cool. And that also touches on one other thing I want to bring up that we haven't really brought up yet.
Yes.
Sorry if I'm running your time here.
Oh, no, like, no, go ahead.
One of the things I like model cars or just random objects in particular is because, you know, I've always been interested in many models and things from my design background. I like models of things, but like, so I have a lot of collectible, you know, I got action figures, I've got cars, model cars, I got things like that here at the house. But to me, especially the model car pedals specifically, it gives them a purpose other than just collecting dust on a shelf. Hey, I got this model car I love, but it's actually a pedal. I can use it. You know, to me, it just gives it another life, you know, another purpose. So that's another cool aspect of what I do. I think that might make people interested in having something like that. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I love these model cars, but they're just sitting there, you know, they don't really do much, which I've got things I enjoy having here to look at, but just giving them another purpose.
I never thought about
it.
Thought about it like that, but yeah, it makes a really good point. I mean, my dad's got a huge toy tractor collection. I won't be able to do any of those, but but it's the same thing. It's like, okay, we can just look at him. I mean, we laugh because when he was my age, he was like, he was living where he couldn't just go buy tractors. And I'm like, Dad, you're like if you just take half of this like collection away, you could have a whole tractor there. Now, I know it's not the same, but that's what I thought. Right. But you know, it's that same kind of a thing where it's like it does something. You know, you can kind of take it with you.
It makes you enjoy having it around a little bit better. You know, getting some use out of it, which. You know, I can't say anything. Like I said, I've got model cars here on a shelf I like to just look at, you know. So everybody collects something usually in some form or another. Everybody has a collection of something most of the time. But, like, for me, it's cars, yeah. And so being able to gig with them, hey, I can take this on the road with me and play it or take it to church or something like that. You know, it's just it's more enjoyable that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It's a conversation starter. I like that, that aspect of it. You know, somebody – and the thing is, like, for me, I think about it because at some point I'm getting really close to going from my – you know, just modeler in a box to going back to the pedal board. I'm like one pedal away from doing it. I'm going to probably end up getting the Westminster. It's their Vox pedal in a box that Cody makes. It's really nice. And I'm thinking about getting that and then going back to a pedal board. But I'm like, man, the car is coming because I'm like, I know I'm going to have some guy at church. It's like one of the car guys at church. Like, wait, that's a model car up there. Like, yes, it is.
And then if you've seen, I haven't posted any pictures of my board, but I've got, yeah, my board looks like a car show or something, or like a cruise-in party or something. It's a bunch of model cars, like a parking lot sitting there, you know? But that's my pedal board. And then I turn it on, and that's my signal chain. You know? It really just a wow factor there.
Yeah, that is cool.
Really gets some attention for sure. Yeah, man.
Yeah, put that up. I'll put a link to your page's Facebook and Instagram. They'll be in the description if you're watching. If you're listening on the YouTube or any of the podcast apps, or if you're watching on YouTube, you'll be really listening because there's not really much. I'm not gonna have much to show here, but they'll be in the description down below. Check those out if you're interested in any of Nathan's pedals. There's ways to contact him through there. If there's an email or something that you have, send that to me. I'll put that down there as well.
Yeah, totally. And thanks for having me. And that's, you know, that people have asked me, do you have a website or something like that? And at one point, you know, I'd like to have one, but usually the best way to get a hold of me is just shoot me an email or just hit me up through my Facebook page or Instagram, because a lot of what I do is by request, so it's not like I can just pop something out and say, here you go. You know, people usually have to contact me and give me talk ideas and whatnot, things like that. So that's the best way to do it, really, for me, personally.
Perfect. Well, yeah, so there'll be links in that in the description. So if you have any questions, let it know. So tell them you heard about it here. Jeez, I can't talk. It's getting late.
Yeah. But hang on,
Nathan. We'll talk a little bit afterwards. But for Bibster Talks 2, don't forget, if you're listening on Apple, please leave a review. That really does help. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. You guys know what to do. I say it every time. But for Bibster Talks 2, we'll see you in the next one. Bye.